My name is Cheryl Dockery, and I'll be your host for SBFM Radio. Today we have something special going on. I have some special people that I want you to talk to, and I want them to talk to you. We're going to be dealing with obesity and health care. You know, Jane is she deals with holistic health, and Avis she's dealing with obesity and your health today. Now, Avis, since you're the one that really wanted to talk about obesity, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us about what you plan on doing in the community associated with obesity.
Good morning. My name is Avis Robinson, and I'm concerned about childhood obesity in the community. I'm looking at children 2 to 5 years old, and they are overtly obese. So I'm working with people at the church right now to talk to parents about obesity and better foods and products to buy in the store. And other things that they can do to get their children a little bit more active instead of being sedentary, sitting in front of the TV, eating snacks all the time.
Sounds good to me. Why don't you give us an idea of the foods and things that they should be eating? And Jane, if you have any suggestions while we're talking, feel free to come in.
Well, thanks. I'm just all on the same page with Avis here, so I'd like to just hear her go right ahead and tell us about the foods.
Okay.
Okay, instead of buying your children potato chips and snack foods like donuts and fruit juices and all these things, you can actually give your children actual fruit to eat. And I'm not talking about Halo's oranges that's a hybrid that doesn't have any seeds. You want your children to eat live foods, things that have seeds in it. Just take the seeds out. But you don't want them to have hybrids, because hybrids are actually a combination. It's more science than nature. So you want to give them more foods like that. You know, and if you teach children young, if you get them while they're young, between 2 and 5 years old, and you're teaching them healthy habits at that age, they'll grow up to be eating healthier as adults versus continuing on the path of eating processed foods, foods that are high in sugar, high in calories, high in fat, and high in salt.
I thought some of the schools were cutting back on that, meals that were not healthy. Some of the schools said that they were going to do that. Do you know if any of them have?
Excuse me?
Some of the schools.
You said that you thought the food industry is it's one of the biggest cons that, on Americans. They're saying yes, they're cutting back. But if you read the nutrients, or if you read the ingredients in the package, okay, they're taking out the fat and they're putting more salt.
Oh no,
they're taking out certain things, but they're adding in more additives. They're adding in more flavor things for flavor. Most Americans eat based on taste. We don't eat based on how nutritious the food is once we put it in our bodies. We're
right.
Really a visual, taste-oriented society. So we want things that look pretty. We want things that taste good. We want things that, you know, are sweet. We want things that are salty because of what the food industry is doing. And these cravings that we have, if we have them as children, we grow up and we continue to have these same cravings as adults. If you look around at not just children, but just look at Americans, in the last 30 years, the overweight obesity rates have increased. They've quadrupled.
Whoa.
I mean, look around you just in the grocery stores, just walking down the street. Americans are obese. We've become a nation of obese people. And it all goes back to our diets, our lack of exercise, and if the parents are doing it, they're not teaching their children to be more active. The children are now sitting in front of the TV for 44, 45 hours a week. They're sedentary. They're playing computer games. They're not getting out and playing. and being active and doing things that, you know, we did as children. Mm-hmm. So times have changed drastically. The food industry is has one of the biggest con games going in America. I mean, you go to the grocery store, you think you're eating healthy foods. You buy something that says it's organic. But if you look at the ingredients, it may be organic, which means it's been grown without any chemicals. But if you look at the ingredients, you have salt. The salt has been doubled. The sugar has been doubled. So now you think you're eating healthy, you think you're buying healthy food, you think you're buying nutritious food, but you're really not. And if you take that same organic product and you compare it to a non-organic product, a lot of times the non-organic product has less salt, less sugar, less additives than the organic product. So, I mean, it's really getting hard for, it's really getting hard for Americans to know what foods to buy. So basically, when you do nutrition, if you work with a nutritionist, the first thing they're going to tell you to do is stay on the outside lanes, in outside aisles. So when you go into a grocery store, they say stay away from the middle aisles. They say stay in the outside aisles because the outside aisles are your produce, usually your produce, your breads, and your dairy products, your juices, your fruit juices, and things like that. Your inside aisles are your more processed foods, your cereals, your soups, your your fruit juices, and things of that nature. So, in low income areas, it's actually even worse. It's actually even worse because you don't even have grocery stores in your low income areas. What you have is fast food restaurants, which also contributed to obesity.
Right.
So if you're watching TV, if your child is watching TV for 44 or 45 hours a week, and you go to the grocery store, what is your child going to tell you to buy? It's going to tell you to buy all the things that the child has seen on TV, which is normal. I mean, our children did that too. But the difference is that our children went outside and played. So they burned off a lot of those calories. They didn't have all the sugar and things that the children have nowadays. A lot of times, parents were cooking more, so they weren't eating processed foods. They weren't microwaves weren't even, you know, weren't around, and they weren't as essential as they are now. Now parents just take something, pop it in the microwave, and think that that's a meal. That's not a meal. That's not healthy. It's not nutritious. Most of the foods that you're putting in the microwave have, if you look at the nutrition content, very, very little nutrition. Very little nutrition. Most of it is salt and sugar. And then you're turning around and you're feeding that to your family, and you wonder why your family is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You wonder why your children have no energy. You wonder why your children have attitude problems. You wonder why they have low self-esteem, because they can't do the things that other children do. I mean, so if your child is fat and overweight and they're trying to keep up with children who are not fat, your child is not only going to be unhealthy in areas of being obese, but they're also not going to be able to play. They're also not going to be able to keep up with children who aren't obese. So now you also have, on top of all of this, you have children being bullied because they're overweight, or they may have acne or something because of their parents feeding them all that sugar. So it's like it's kind of like a domino effect. So if parents would just kind of educate themselves and learn about the products that are in their foods. Okay, for an example, the product might say that it's dairy free. Okay, but if you look on the ingredients, it says, first thing that it says is casein. Okay, well, casein is milk. So it's not dairy free.
Oh no. Jane, what is your take on this?
Well, you know, I love what you're saying, Avis. I agree with every single word. My research comes from a different angle, but it comes to the exact same conclusions. I wrote two books on the paleo diet. One's called Paleo Desserts, and the other is called Good Morning Paleo. And the paleo diet is known to help people lose weight. And why does it do that? It's because there is no GMO foods on the paleo diet, and you can't eat processed foods or sugars on the paleo diet. And so it's all about going back to real food. But, you know, I'd like to tell you my take on this, this not only USA, but global increase in obesity. And I see three primary causes to it. One is the growth of genetically modified foods since the mid-90s, which actually are lower in nutritional nutrient content, and they cause gut imbalances, meaning your digestion gets a little screwed up. And the solution to that, of course, is to eat real food that's not genetically modified, which you can find in grocery stores in the produce section. The
yes.
second thing that has caused obesity is the bioaccumulation of toxins and metals in the body. And you don't notice it at first, because what you're eating, like you say, tastes good. It's kind of salty, but it tastes pretty good. But what you're getting is the food industry is finding ways to save money when they are harvesting vegetables and grains, and they're harvesting them with toxins, which messes with your gut and makes heavy metals, which are already toxins, makes them even worse. And so it's been shown that, for example, Monsanto's glyphosate, which is an herbicide that is used for weed control in almost
right.
Almost everything is directly linked to weight gain and a number of other diseases. We're not talking GMOs, because glyphosate can be used on anything. It's embedded. Glyphosate is a carcinogenic herbicide that is embedded in GMO food. So if you eat corn or soy or anything that has those in it, you get that toxin. But glyphosate
yes.
is also used on non-GMO products,
yes.
such as sugar and rice and all wheat. So if you eat those products, unless you eat organic, you get a healthy dose of those toxins that are going to make you fat. Now, that's the third. So the solution there is a tough one. It's the solution is to eat organic and eat less. Because
yeah.
you won't be. Because if you're eating real food, it actually fills you up. Whereas if you're eating fake food, it doesn't satisfy and you just want more. So the third reason, and then I'll open this to discussion, because I love this discussion, Avis. The third primary cause of obesity in the world, in the United States, is the lack of fiber in our diet. So if you're eating processed foods, it's not cleaning out your gut, and your
right.
gut needs to have that rough stuff go
yes.
through it. Well, what fiber? Well, vegetables and, well, brown rice and whole grains and nuts. Anything that has a little roughage in it goes through your digestion and cleans out your gut. Your gut is, well, it's about 30 or 40 feet long, and it's a huge tube that you need to clean out. And healthy people eat lots of fiber. So the solution to this, I see, is if people want to turn the tide in their lives and their digestion and their children's digestion, is to begin a cleansing diet of high-fiber organic foods, lots of vegetables, and plenty of probiotics for about 6 months to clean out the accumulation of toxins. And then you can find yourself slowly losing weight. That's my take on it. How's that?
Avis, now, what is your take on? What do you think? What kind of solutions can we come up with here?
I agree. I agree 100% with Jane. Monsanto, the Koch brothers, the things that they're doing to food is just criminal. It really
criminal.
Is. And the two biggest crops in America are corn and soy.
Yes.
They are almost in every single food, every single processed food, either one or two of those products are in almost every single processed food. And as Jane said, they accumulate in your system. They give you what we call the muffin top. So you start getting this big, huge belly that you're not going to lose. You're not going to lose it because
what's
you're
in that?
Still...
Just talk about that for a second. What's in there? Because it starts one size, and then it gets to be big. What's in there, Avis?
Most of it's processed foods. You have chemicals. Okay, most people are using that Roundup, which is a carcinogenic. Okay,
yes.
It doesn't. So when you bring your food home and you're washing your food and stuff like that, you're not washing those chemicals off. You're not washing off that Roundup.
Food.
Right, because they leach into the food. They leach into the soil. So you're not washing all that stuff off. What you're doing is you're actually consuming it.
Yeah.
And it builds up into your system, and then you start seeing, and as Jane said, it's a very slow process. You don't start feeling unhealthy all at once. You start feeling unhealthy over time, and then you start noticing that you can't lose the weight. You're lethargic. You may start having some other health issues, diabetes. You may start cancer, heart problems. I mean, all of this is linked. If you look at it, you can actually, all the illnesses that we are experiencing, that we're seeing people experience in our loved ones, all of it can go back to three things: your diet, your environment, and stress factors. I mean, the research is there.
Well,
one
of my concerns, in which I've been talking to people about, probably too late for me, and that's eating pork and scavengers foods, you know, like crab, shrimp, lobster, oysters. All of those are scavengers that are not healthy foods, and it's too bad. I love them. It's probably too late for me, but I'm telling everyone to start their children off at birth not eating pork or any of the scavengers foods. What is your take on this, Avis and Jane?
Well, I'm going to say that pigs, we get a bad rap, and 99% of pigs in the United States are fed GMO grains, and of course they're not very healthy. So how can their pork be healthy? It's not. And the scavenger animals that are in the ocean are eating off the floor of the ocean, which is where the toxins settle. And so I'm a very sensitive person, and I can tell you when I eat a crab or a shrimp that's been in a toxic area, I can tell you, because it'll give my body, I'll get the shivers,
right,
and I feel good. So I don't really think the problem is that scavengers are bad for you to eat, although what you're saying is true, 99% of them are, because they're eating toxins, and those toxins are going into the food. So a pig that's raised with love, that's happy, and is eating table scraps that are non-GMO, it's going to be healthy pork, but that is
right.
Not Doherty. It is
no, the people that are trying to make money is not going to feed a pig some
right.
healthy food.
Well, most people can't afford to shop at places like Whole Foods, and that's where you would find organic pork, organic beef, or healthier brands of meats. But most people can't afford to shop at Whole Foods because it's not for your low-income person. It's for somebody who is making quite a bit of money. So if you're going to shop at your local supermarket, you're not going to find organic pork. You're not going to find organic beef. It's just not there. You may find some organic chicken. You may find organic turkeys every once in a while. They are starting to carry organic chicken. But again, you have to be sure of the source. So instead of what I normally do is when I see the brand, I go online, I look up that company, and I see what they're doing.
Good for you.
Are they doing what they say that they're doing? Because a lot of companies aren't. It's all about advertising. It's all about economics. It's all about money here in America. So if I'm if I'm trying to get you to buy stuff, and if you go to the grocery store now, you're seeing all the stores, the shelves are just organic, 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 organic. Okay, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's healthy for you. Do you understand what I mean?
It's, I didn't
just
know
because
that.
They label organic, it doesn't mean that what's in there is healthy for you. So you have to still look at the ingredients. You have to look at how much sugar is in there. You have to look at how much salt is in there. You have to look at how much fat is in there. Because children nowadays are getting type 2 diabetes. That's an adult onset diabetes. Children aren't supposed to get type 2 diabetes.
Yes. Well,
they're not supposed to be.
Let's talk about solutions for low-income people, because there are some, and shopping at Whole Foods is not one of them. And one of my biggest suggestions is to actually, like you said, shop on the outside and eat vegetables. Vegetables are still not all that expensive, whereas good cuts of meat and clean eggs are very expensive. But you could practically live on a diet of unprocessed vegetables, and you would be better off than buying processed foods. If you took all the money that we spend on processed foods and stopped using that, and instead bought vegetables, I believe we'd be a lot better off, and we might even save some money.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And that's one of the things that I encourage people to do. I'm encouraging people now to start growing their own food. You know what
Absolutely.
You're eating. You know what you're putting in your body. Tomatoes are one of the easiest things that fruits to grow, because we think we actually think that tomato is a vegetable, but it's actually a fruit. Anything
right.
with seeds in it is really a fruit. We consider certain things to be vegetables, but a lot of things are fruits. So tomatoes are actually so easy to grow. You can actually grow them in your windowsill. You can grow your herbs. You can grow your dill, your parsley, your thyme. All these little things you can actually grow. You can grow berries. On my patio, I have a patio. I grow tomatoes. I grow my own lemons, oranges. I grow blackberries, blueberries.
Awesome.
I have my parsley out there. I'm starting to grow celery. This winter, I'm going to start growing cabbage and collards. It's essential because my health. Even though I thought I was eating healthy, even though I thought I was doing things correctly, even though I thought I was doing doing things that I should be doing, during the last 10 years, I wasn't eating what I was supposed to be eating. I wasn't doing the things that I was supposed to be doing. And I got diagnosed in 2007 with a tumor. I mean, and I was shocked. How could I, who does everything correctly, have a tumor? Well, stress. The stress factors in my life at that time were so outrageous. I was working full time at a company that really did not care how much work they loaded on their employees, and people were dropping dead at their desk, and that's no lie. People were actually having heart attacks and things at their desk. So you can do healthy things too, and still have problems. The difference between when I got a tumor and when somebody else got a tumor, my tumor stayed in one place. It has not gone anywhere. It's still just in one place. However, because of the stress factors in my life, even though the tumor is reducing and shrinking, as soon as I get stressed out, it grows. It starts to get bigger again. So it's all these things. I mean, your food, your environment, the stress. It's all these things bombarding you. Constantly.
You know, people think of it as a no win, that there's no possibility to win. And what I'd like to discuss in this show is actually giving people hard and fast solutions. And so, I believe you're right about the stress, that it has a very big effect on health. But how can one actually take an active role in reducing the stress in their lives so that they can be healthy? What are some of the ways that one can do that?
Well, I start my day with meditation. I start every day with meditation and prayer.
I think this is a wonderful
Yeah.
Deep breathing
yeah.
exercises. When I find myself reacting to someone who cuts me off in driving, instead of getting, you know, immediately getting mad, I stop, I breathe, I take a breath, and I just say, you know, okay, maybe that person's in more of a hurry than I am. But I've made a conscious choice. I mean, it's a conscious choice to breathe instead of reacting, to have a more positive response instead of immediately getting angry. But then I've also noticed that because of my diet, because I eat more fruits and vegetables and things of that nature, that I'm not angry like I used to be. I don't have that anger in me, so I don't respond angrily anymore. Do you know what I mean?
How bad? How long did that shift take you to actually turn that process around?
About a year and a half.
But that changed your whole life, so I'm really amazed.
I haven't changed my life, but I'm taking in everything you guys are talking about, because I still eat pork, and I don't read
nothing. Well, if you're going to eat it in moderation. Everything has to be done in moderation. That's the whole thing. But in America, we're not a society of moderation. We're a society of excess. But if you do things in moderation, so if you eat pork, eat it in moderation. Don't eat it every night. Don't eat it three to four times a week. Eat it once a week. Same thing
with beef. That's my problem. I can eat pork every day.
Eat it in moderation. And then make sure that you have more vegetables on your plate than you have pork. And that's another thing that we do. We combine foods that we shouldn't combine. So as Jane was saying about the intestines and cleaning out the waste, okay, when you eat your pork, your starch, so we've got our rice, our meat, our vegetable, you might have a salad with the melon and everything in it, and you're eating all that at one time. And then you sit back and you wonder why you feel bloated, why you're sitting on back on the couch and you can't move. Okay, for one thing, you've just gorged yourself with foods that aren't compatible, and now they're having a hard time digesting because your meat is going to slow down your vegetable digestion process. The melon, which would normally take just a couple of seconds to digest in your system, is now trying to wade through all that other stuff that you just put into your system. And most of the time, most of the food is not digested, which is why people are having problems going to the bathroom, which is another issue we have here in America. Here's the solution.
I'd like to add something to this, Avis. You're so right. Food combining is really very individual, and it's a rather complex study of what foods go with what foods, and it's actually kind of hard for people to learn. But there is one way that you can address that issue easily, and that is not eat so much at one sitting, and two, chew your food really, really well. Then it doesn't put pressure on your digestion to break it down into little bitty pieces. And you might get some of the nutrients out of it. Otherwise, if it's in large pieces, it'll go straight through. And, you know, if you've ever gone to the toilet and seen pieces of food, well, then you know that you didn't chew it and it just didn't go in. So that is a very inexpensive way to save money on your food budget, is to chew each bite 50 to 100 times.
Oh, no. I'm really...
And then don't eat and watch television at the same time. Because you're not focusing on what you're eating. You have to be mindful about eating. You have to be mindful about what you're putting in your body. You have to be mindful about, like Jane said, chewing your food completely, because the digestive system actually starts in the mouth.
And it's pleasurable. We like to eat because it feels good. But if you just chew it 10 or 20 more times, all of a sudden you can absorb, your absorption can go up 100%.
Right, yes.
You spent all that money on the food, and now you deserve to absorb it.
Right. And then because when you eat it fast like that, you're not tasting it. So
yeah.
And you're not getting the nutrients, so you're not satisfying that hunger. So 20
right.
minutes later, you're back in the kitchen looking for something else to eat, something else to snack on. Because you really, even though you just ate a big meal, you really didn't get the nutrients from that meal. So your body is still hungry. It's still craving something, whether it's salt, sugar, whatever. But if you had just sat down, eating your vegetables first, and ate them thoroughly, giving it 10 minutes, let it digest, because vegetables and fruit digest very, very rapidly, as long as they don't have meat in it. And then came back and eating your potatoes or something, and eating that, and let that digest. Let it get into your body, and then come back and eat your meat. But we eat everything at the same time. It doesn't give the food time to digest.
Well.
It's really sitting in your stomach. And then another thing we do is we eat late. I mean, so people eat dinner at 7:30. 8 o'clock, sit in front of the TV, and then they go to bed. Your food hasn't digested at all.
That sounds like me.
Your food hasn't digested at all. It's in one big lump. It's trying to go through your digestive system. It's trying to do what it's supposed to do, but it really can't because you haven't really given it enough time.
So
now you're in bed, you're sleeping, and your body's trying to do what it's supposed to do during your sleep, which is, push things out, start getting that digestive system to work so that when you wake up in the morning, you go to the bathroom. And that should be the first thing you do when you wake up is when drink some water. You should be able to move that, what you ate the day before, move it out. But
yes.
That's not the American way.
Well, if we
I've
eat
had
too,
people come and
then our
talk,
rest. If we eat too
yes.
late, the body can't rest, and it's busy digesting
it
food. It doesn't regenerate your cells or feed your blood in a healthy way. It just has to focus on digestion. So
yes.
They say you should eat 3 hours or more before you go to bed. So if you go to bed at 10, then you have to have finished your dinner by 7. If you go to bed
yes.
at 9, you have to finish your dinner by 6 o'clock. And let it digest for 3 hours before you go to bed. Otherwise, your sleep suffers.
Well, I guess I'm just jacked up because I know I have it bad. That's why I wanted to do a health show, because I've noticed eating and lying down. I'll eat
right.
and go right.
After you have a big meal like that, you should get up, put on your tennis shoes, go walk around the block. Instead of going to sit on the go sitting on the couch and go walk, because that's also going to help the digestive system. It's going to help that your digestive system start to work. Because
and you know
now
your digestive
oh.
system doesn't work when you're lying down.
No.
Your digestive system works when you're vertical. You're either sitting or standing. If you lie down after eating, it will take about twice as long to digest and will not be as efficient. So you never want, if you're going to rest, then rest sitting after a meal.
Oh, I am really jacked up because I'm doing everything opposite of what you guys are talking about. I'm going to work on trying to do better. I want to talk a little bit about, you were saying, fruits and vegetables. And what about fruit and vegetable juices?
No. Unless you're juicing your own.
Oh, I'm just jacked.
But
up
when you go, oh. when you go look
I'd
at
like
a bottle of juice.
About the juices, everyone says, "Oh, juicing is so healthy," and it is true that vegetable juices are healthy, but they contain no fiber, and fiber is what cleans our digestion. And you know, God gave us the foods in this form. It gave us the zucchini in this form, and the
mm-hmm.
and the cucumber in this form, and
right.
spinach, and it's one thing to for a short period of time have a liquid diet, it's okay. But in a general rule, juicing vegetables, you're lacking the fiber, and you need the whole vegetable. So it's fine. Just eat it whole or saute it a little bit. It's much, much healthier, and you get the fiber along with the juice. Now, about fruit juice, I'm really on a warpath about fruit juice, because what these companies do is they make the fruit juice out of the old and rotten fruit. It's very sweet. Sometimes they even add sweetener. So it has an acidifying effect in your body. And just like Ava said, it's better to eat the whole piece of fruit. God gave us the whole apple, the whole orange. I'm not saying you'd eat the peel, but you'd eat the whole fruit. And don't just eat the juice, because the juice is usually very high in sugar, and that's going to send your blood sugar through the roof. And we're already addicted to sugar, and one gulp of sugar, and we just want more. So I do not drink fruit juice of any kind, not ever, but I do eat whole fruit. And I do not do juices of vegetables. I blend. If I want a smoothie or something, I blend a cucumber, of an avocado, and some spinach, maybe with a green apple. Oh, yum! That's my meal, and it's very high in fiber, and it's so rich in nutrients, and not expensive. That's my take on juice.
Well, you know, I do juice, but I also blend. But when I do juice, I always put in, like, an apple to get that fiber. So, like, if I'm doing a green drink, I will add an apple.
Yeah.
So that I'm making sure that I'm getting that fiber, so that it you know, so it's not just all the juices from the kale or spinach or whatever. So I do make sure that I do add something that's going to give me that fiber, whether it's an apple or a pear or something.
But wait a minute. Let's be careful here, because there's fiber in vegetables, and there's
Fiber in vegetables as well. But when I was juicing, I lost so much weight, it was ridiculous. I mean, I lost too much weight. So then I went back to, because I was working with a holistic practitioner, and so we were juicing and juicing and juicing. And I went down to, like, 128 pounds. Like, I'm 5'7 and a half, so at 128 pounds,
that's skinny.
I'm skinny.
You're right.
So you could actually see my ribs and stuff. And at that point, I'm like, okay, well, juicing may be for some people, but it's not entirely for me. I need to add some food back to my diet. So like Jane said, I started doing the whole thing. I started sautéing the squash and sautéing the spinach and things to help put the weight back on. And actually, that it worked a lot better. Put the weight back on. I felt great juicing, because you do get the energy, you do get that because of the sugar, because you're all revved up. But I felt a lot better eating because, you know, like Jane was saying, the digestive system, it does start in your mouth. It does help to satisfy you satisfy the food hunger. When you're juicing and stuff like that, you get full because it's liquid. But it's not the same thing as sitting down and eating a meal. Do you know what I mean?
Because there's no fiber.
So my body, after a while, was actually, I would get up in the middle of the night, and I would come in here, and my body was saying, okay, we need something else. We need something, because, you know, you're starving me. So at that point, you know, that's when I said, okay, juicing may be great for some people, but I need to start putting some of the things back in my body. So I need to start eating. So I started eating, like, organic chicken every once in a while, and that seemed to work. My body was saying, okay. But then I also realized, because I wanted that chicken and stuff, that my body, because I was craving the chicken, then that my body was actually needing other nutrients. It needed maybe some iron. But it was lacking nutrients that I wasn't getting in other food. I mean, in other places. So
yes,
I had to go back and start doing research and saying, okay, this is good, but okay, so what does it mean when you're craving certain foods? What does this mean? So that's when I went back and I did some more research, and it says, yeah, okay, if you're craving chicken or you're craving protein, your body is probably the low in iron, because, you know, I did have a history of anemia. So it, you need to, and probably some B12. Mm-hmm. But most people don't do that. When most people get cravings and stuff like that, they don't go back and say, okay, well, what is my body actually lacking? What is my body why am I craving certain foods? Most people don't make that correlation. They just go, okay, well, I'm on something salty. They just go get a bag of chips. But your body is actually deficient in something. And what you need to find out is what it's deficient in, what vitamin or whatever are you deficient in so that you're craving salt.
I've got something to say about that. You know, I have different ways of tasting things. And most people look at the food, and then they pretty much decide if it's good or not. Maybe they can sniff it. And then there's the second step, which is when you taste it and you put it in your mouth and you decide, is it good, is it sweet, is it salty? But there's a third test, and I call it the tummy test. And nobody gets that far, but I do. And if I ask my tummy, is this food truly healthy for me, then I know I can take another bite. And that is what I suggest we think about, because what you guys are talking about so intelligently is the ability to read your body to see what it is that you need, whether it's more protein or more vegetables or more carbs, or what is your body is trying to tell you something and it doesn't have words. So I'm suggesting the tummy test. Swallow it and listen. And if you get to have that level of sensitivity of your body, you can control your own diet and your own health.
Okay, I'm keeping that one in mind because I don't do that. I do the visual, I do the other two, but I have noticed
any
that some foods that I eat, yeah, some foods that I eat that, I mean, I can't eat white bread. It physically makes me sick. I mean, if I have a piece of white bread, I'm sick for the next 2 days trying to get that out of my body because my body is saying, what the heck did you just feed me? What did you put in my system? Because now I'm clogged up. I get the mucus. I get, and it's actually very enlightening because your body, like James said, your body tells you, oh, don't eat that. Okay, you can eat that if you want to, but if you eat that, I'm going to give you indigestion. If you eat that, I'm going to give you constipation. If you eat that, I'm going to give you headaches. It tells us what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat, but we don't listen to our bodies.
Yeah.
I know I don't.
And, yeah, so you'll eat something even though you know that, you know, tomorrow you're going to pay for that.
Yeah, that's probably my case. That is probably what's happening with me. But,
well, you know, this is a kind of signal. When you get sick, it's kind of a signal to tell you to look at things a little differently. And my path has been a little bit different. I had total digestive collapse, adrenal failure, and chronic fatigue and cancer all in 1 year. And my doctor said, just quit work, go to bed for 4 months, and see if we can turn this around. But what happened was I started removing toxic people from my environment, which improved my stress factor.
Right.
And then I eating genetically modified foods, which straightened out my gut imbalance. And then slowly I ate a cleansing diet of high-fiber organic foods, lots of veggies, some protein, and a lot of probiotics to kind of straighten out my gut. And that took several years. And now the accumulation of toxins in my body has gone down. I'm no longer overweight, and I eat lots of fiber, vegetables. I just had breakfast of brown rice with vegetables and some chicken. It was yummy, but it was very high in fiber, and I chewed it really, really well, and it was so yummy. I was just enjoying every bite. So
would think you were crazy for eating that for breakfast because they're so used to eating eggs and bacon and toast and all this garbage that they shouldn't be putting into their bodies.
Well, I call that my Buddha bowl, and it's going up on my website today, and my website is janeshealthykitchen.com. Will you let me plug it just for a second?
Yeah.
Good. janeshealthykitchen.com, it's got a whole section of what to eat and a whole section of what to avoid and all kinds of lifestyle suggestions that will help save money and help you be healthier. So JanesHealthyKitchen.com. Right now I'm working with an organization called Moms Across America that is doing research to find out exactly why we're all getting so fat. And they're coming up with the same things that I've got, which is GMO foods, accumulation of toxins, and not enough fiber. So what we need is a diet of high fiber, non-toxic food, lots of vegetables, and lots of probiotics for 6 months or a year, and we can turn it around. We can turn this around.
Okay, I've learned a lot, and I learned that I'm doing things all wrong, which I knew already. But I'm going to try harder to do better after listening to you two. Is Devin still on the line?
Devin, are you still on the line? No, he's not.
I was going to ask him a question.
But what you are doing, Carol, is you're spreading the word, and that is so wonderful.
Yeah, and I did post it on Facebook this morning, you know, that I was going to be doing this radio talk show and to have people tune in, you know, to listen. So hopefully, you know, the word starts to get out that, you know, I mean, we have to be in control of what we eat. You know, we want to blame the food industry and stuff like that, which really, you know, they are a big, huge problem. But we have to be responsible for what we're putting into our bodies and what we're putting into our systems. And we have to start reading labels. We have to start asking questions. If you don't like what the industry is doing, you have to let them know. Because, like I said, it's all based on a dollar. And if you're not buying their product, believe me, they will change it so that you will buy it.
That's right.
So you have to voice your concerns. You have to start writing these General Mills and Kellogg's and all these other companies and telling them, you know, you want healthy foods.
That's a very good idea.
They can't make much money on healthy food because healthy food is unprocessed vegetables.
I know.
So I would just continue to stop in the produce section and be happy.
Would you be willing to come back later on because I'm going to still be working with health, and I have a couple of other health people. Would you two be willing to come back on sometime in the future?
Yes.
That would be a pleasure. If I could be on with Avis, too, that would be too much fun.
Yeah.
Jane, one question. Is Jane's Healthy Kitchen all one string?
It's all one string, no apostrophe, just JanesHealthyKitchen.com.
Yeah, it is.
I don't have a website, even though I probably should. My family's been telling me to do a blog for God knows how long, and I still haven't done it.
Well, I know how much work it is, so, you know, you just think twice before you're doing it because mine's a runaway. I have hundreds of articles and hundreds of healthy recipes, and that Buddha Bowl is going on today.
Well, I can just refer people to your website. I can tell people to go to Jane's website for healthy information or healthy recipes or healthy food.
JanesHealthyKitchen.com.
JanesHealthyKitchen.com. Yeah, I wrote it down. So I will.
Okay.
So, but this, thank you so much for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
And I'm going to call you.
I'm a little nervous at first.
I'll call you both. Well, I will be airing this on television as well.
Cool.
Oh, okay.
After I edit it, and I'll air it on television so individuals that weren't listening to the radio and who see me on television, they'll get the message as well. But I am going to call you both and invite you back again because I think this is a very important subject that we need to really get deeper into because we do have health issues in this country.
We sure
and
do.
Be addressed.
Well, that's another topic. How the health industry, how that little merry-go-round that you go on with the health industry. That's a whole nother subject. Don't even get me started on that. Because that's
well,
like
the next time we come on, that's what you can talk about. And
Well, let's give her the mic. Let her go. Go with that.
No, you both have.
Our medical
I learned a lot from
not,
both of you today.
Jane lucked out getting a doctor that was willing to help her, because most of the medical industry is not like that. They're not going to tell you anything healthy to do.
Yep.
Because disease is a repeat business.
Yes.
That's true.
Yep.
That's all about money.
Yep. But this is America. This is America. It's all about money here in America. So we know that. But when it's at the expense of Americans' health, then I have a problem. And
yes,
that's what's happening. It's at our expense.
Yeah, well, I'm telling people now to start your children off at birth eating healthy and not do what I did with my kids. I bought all that Gerber stuff, and I'd buy the meat, the vegetable, you know, and the fruit.
5 minutes left.
5 minutes left? Okay. I have a closing that I want to do. You guys could stay on the line if you want.
Sure.
And basically, this was SBFM Radio, and every week I'll be on Saturday, 10 o'clock, and what you do is, if you wish to participate, there are telephone numbers that you can call. If you want to call direct, it's area code 323-744-4831. If you think you have some information, more information pertaining to health, feel free to participate in our conversation. We need as much input as possible. But basically, the first week of the month, of each month, the first Saturday is going to be open forum. Like, this would have been an open forum. And then my last week of the month will be dealing with my ministry. So we have 2 or maybe 3 weeks, like in this month, for us to talk about a lot of things that we need to be talking about. So I will be contacting you, Avis and Jane, again, so we can further our knowledge on this health issue, because we
do have a lot of...
If we
take specific topics, it would be perhaps interesting. Like, we could choose a topic on GMO foods,
okay,
or a fibrous, high fiber foods,
okay,
and we could talk about exercise for curing obesity. Take it in little pieces, or we could talk about eliminating toxins in your food. These could be just little snippets that I bet you Avis would have a lot to say about.
Yes, I believe both of you will. So that's what I'll be putting together for you two in the future, so you'd be able to give us all this information.
Okay. That'd be great.
So I'm glad that both of you did participate today. I figured I'd pick the best two people to deal with this. And I'm going to invite you both back. Okay?
I look forward to it.
Okay.
Look forward to it.
Well, thank you, Avis.
And thank both of you guys. I think I have like 1 minute left or something. And so I'm going to do my closing like I usually do on television. And that's how I'll do it. Knowing is not enough. We must apply. Willing is not enough. We must do. Until we meet again, I love you.